And our first scripture comes from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. It is good to sing praise to our God. It is pleasant and right to praise him. The Lord is restoring Jerusalem. He is bringing back the exiles. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He has decided the number of the stars and calls each one by name. Great and mighty is our Lord. His wisdom cannot be measured. He raises the humble, but crushes the wicked to the ground. And also from Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you in this time of worship. We love being in your presence. We love being with one another, where we can experience the fruit of the Spirit with one another that you have poured upon us. Lord, be with us in this time, that we would come to know you more deeply and that we would go from this place being your obedient people. In Christ's name, amen. Well, before I share this scripture with Ben is so nicely put up. I wanted to say a little bit more about All Saints Day. When Susan and I were on our romantic tour of World War I battle sites last November, we happened to be there on All Saints Day. And it happened on that day we were traveling, we were in Luxembourg City and traveling to Weinheim, Germany, where my mother's family were from, to do some genealogy work, as we are wont to do. And we discovered All Saints Day in Europe is a holiday. Nobody works. Shops are closed, restaurants are closed, and people spend the day honoring their ancestors. And what a wonderful, who knew? Because in our country, Halloween is the big day. Hallowed Eve, Halloween. And so I've shared things from Steve Garness Holmes a lot of times up here and in other places. This is Steve's his words from October 31st. And I like them because they kind of combine a little bit of the Hallowed Eve with an All Saints Day. He says, "Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you. The day we prepare to honor the saints who have gone before, first we get honest about the skeletons in our closet, about how monstrous we can be, about what's spookiest about us, and what we most fear, about our masks and false personas and our secret aspirations, about how we trick each other and prayed about stuffing ourselves with junk. We get honest about it and also laugh about it. We laugh at ourselves and also laugh at our evil. Then, having lightened ourselves of the burden of our righteousness, tomorrow, All Saints' Day, we can move on freely without guilt or pretense to be the saints we actually are. I love that idea of leaving behind and becoming the saints we are. In the bulletin this morning, I included a little handout. And if you would take a look at that, we have heard about the fruit of the Spirit so much, and in some cases some different words appear through the different translations. So I went through those and put them together on this one card so you can see how some writers have used a little bit different words for some of the fruit of the Spirit. And later I'm going to talk more about the gentleness, meekness, humility, tolerance, don't force our way in life, part of the fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to read now from Luke 19. This is a story of Zacchaeus, which we have heard several times and has been preached about. It happens to be the lectionary passage for the day, so I'm being true to that. As I read this, think about and look for how fruit of the Spirit shows up in this particular passage. Look for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as we read this. Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head tax man, and quite rich. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. "What business does he have getting cozy with this crook?" Zacchaeus just stood there, a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give away half my income to the poor. And if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages." Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." Where did you see any of the fruit of the Spirit in here? He asked, and he responded, "I see love. Zacchaeus wanted desperately to see Jesus. He had a love for Jesus, even though he had not met him. There was love in that Jesus called Zacchaeus by name and invited him to be a guest in his house. I saw peace. Today is salvation time in this home. I saw patience, Zacchaeus climbing into the tree to wait to see Jesus." Have you ever had to show patience when you were at a parade looking? "Kindness, I think Jesus calling Zacchaeus by name was certainly an act of kindness. I saw goodness and generosity. I give away half my income to the poor. And if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages. I saw faithfulness. Zacchaeus, a hated man by the community, went to the gathering, knowing he was reviled by the crowd, but trusted that meeting Jesus would change his life. That's a real act of faithfulness, isn't it? Meekness and humility, I'll talk about that a little bit more later. Self-control, some lack of self-control on the part of the crowd when they say, what business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Self-control on the part of Zacchaeus as he changed his ways of dealing with others. He made a commitment to changing how he was going to live. We see Jesus, Zacchaeus as being a man small of stature, and we could think in some ways small in character. Small in character in that he was used to taking advantage of people. He was used to partaking of the fruit of the secular world rather than the fruit of the Spirit. Much like Zacchaeus, we are drawn to the fruit of the world also, unfortunately. Hence we come together in worship at confessing our sins. Instead of love, we can have indifference, isolation, bullying, hate. Instead of joy, we can have envy, envious of people who have more than we have, and we think we ought to have more than we have. So rather than gratitude and joy for what we have, we can envy what others have. Instead of peace, we might seek protection. The whole idea of how much fear people try to bring into my life seems to fight against the whole concept of having peace. Instead of patience, I see a lot of impatience, and I am so guilty, I stand before you, of impatience. Susan will agree. Kurt, you are impatient, particularly with what I feel is lack of service at stores and at play. Oh, I am terrible. And I have to confess how bad I am at that. I can get really impatient. I stand before you. Instead of kindness, we see a lot of selfishness. Instead of goodness, we see a lot of meanness and me-ness. Instead of generosity, we see a lot of greed. Instead of humility, we see a lot of pride. And instead of self-control, we see a lot of self-interest. So we live in this world that is drawing us to things that are not fruit of the Spirit. These are the reasons I need to be with you. And we need to be together. Because together, I believe, we experience the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that only God can bring to us. And it makes life much different, living in the fruit of the Spirit. We come together in worship to experience all of these things. In this scripture story, Zacchaeus comes to this gathering seeking higher ground, both literally and figuratively. He seeks higher ground by climbing into the tree, and he seeks spiritual higher ground by hoping to see and meet Jesus. I would note at this point that Zacchaeus does not need to be in the tree so Jesus can see him. Jesus sees us wherever we are, wherever we happen to be. Living in the dark, with our mind in the gutter, in the depths of despair, enjoying the fruits of the secular world, Jesus sees us and wants to be with us. But Zacchaeus needs to move to higher ground so he can see Jesus. Much like when we come together in worship, we come seeking higher ground so we can see Jesus. On the music playlist that I listen to when I walk, there are two songs that address seeking higher ground. Todd Agnew's song, Higher Ground, has the lines, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand on higher ground. Lord, my hope is higher ground. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." And the great Irish theologian Van Morrison has a song titled, "Whenever God Shines His Light," with a similar message, with the chorus saying, "Reach out for him and he'll be there. He lifts you up and turns you around. Get your feet back on higher ground." So, much like Zacchaeus, each week we gather together on higher ground. We come expecting to meet Jesus, and we have come to learn that this is a place where we will encounter him. We come with a need to be raised up in our spiritual life. Hence, we begin with our confession of sin, recognizing, you know, there are things in this world that draw me away from the fruit of the Spirit. And we come to this place to be filled once again. On the cover of the bulletin, there is a picture. And Ben, if you do you have that? This is the lovely color version of that picture. Susan and I just came back from our long trip to the East Coast, and part of that was visiting Acadia National Park. And in Acadia National Park is Cadillac Island. And if you drive to the top of Cadillac Island, you are at a place where the sun first rises on our country each day. And I thought, well, what a great illustration, because we can ask, where does the sun first rise in your life each day? Where is the figurative higher ground that we seek each day, where we can seek Jesus in our life? This shot from Cadillac Island made me think of where is the higher ground that I want to be on so the Son of God can see me each day. Thank you, Ben. As God has promised, as we gather here together in worship, Jesus calls us by name and invites himself into our lives. "I am coming home with each of you, and we will break bread together, and I will be with you." It's fitting that we gather today to celebrate Holy Communion. Jesus is with us this day, and he will break bread with us, sealing the covenant of our relationship with God Almighty. Chances are, as a corrupt tax collector, Zacchaeus was not a man of humility or meekness. I don't know. I'm just assuming here. Because of his status and profession, he was likely a man of power and wealth and intimidation. Something he heard about Jesus led him to go to this gathering of people that he knew, that knew him as a tax collector and despised him. That was an act of faithfulness in itself. As Jesus invites him to the home, as we've said, people got upset. But he's drawn to Jesus, and he's open to letting his life be changed. Upon meeting Jesus, he makes a commitment to change his ways and change in some significant ways. I mentioned earlier that I would address the fruit of humility and meekness a little further. Many years ago, my late wife and I led a Bible study based on the book Spirit Fruit by John Drescher. This book was written in 1974. And I've referred to it many times when we have done studies on the fruit of the Spirit. There are several chapters in here on meekness and humility, and I want to share some things from that. As we look through the fruit of the Spirit, when we get to things like humility and meekness and tolerance and gentleness, do you ever think, are you serious, Lord? Those are not characteristics that tend to be valued in our world necessarily. But Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 2, urges them to be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant of one another. In the world we live in, we don't see a lot of humility, gentleness, patience, or tolerance. But as we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, we experience all of these. And as I said before, I am so gracious and thankful for you where I can experience those. Our secular world does not see power in meekness or humility or tolerance. Our world tends to see meekness and humility and gentleness as weakness. People that are humble are often seen as being willing to be walked on, unable to stand up for themselves, milquetoast, snowflakes, powerless, and weak. However, meekness to many means spinelessness, lack of courage or strength. It is the opposite. Most of the precious promises of the Scripture are to the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How hard is that to believe in this world we live in? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world. In the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee that Kim shared last week and that Jim read from Luke 18, 9 through 14, it ends with these words. For everyone who makes himself great will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be made great. Any time now, Lord. Our challenge as Christians is to believe the good news. Just because we don't see evidence in the way the world operates does not mean that there is truth in the Word of God. We are called to faithfulness. Several things from the book I'm going to share. The world in popular opinion belongs to the bold, daring, self-assertive person. Mastery belongs to the one who succeeds in gaining power or wealth. Success comes to him who tramples all obstacles under his feet. We live in a time of superlatives, the greatest evangelist, the greatest preacher, the greatest theologian, the greatest actor. We desire dignity and position. We want some title and to be addressed properly. No wonder Christ cannot be seen. Living in this secular world, we think blessed are the strong, the shrewd, those who stand up for their rights, those who refuse to be taken advantage of, those who always look out for slights, those who strike it rich and make a success. We have a tendency to set high value on self-assertion. The natural standpoint is that a strong person is the one who not only does what he wills, but also bends others to do his will. As Christians, we have our work cut out for us, do we not? As we live in the presence of the Holy Spirit and accept the fruit of the Spirit, we come to discover that meekness and humility and gentleness provide us with power that is under the control of God. Meekness is to be mastered by the will of God. It results in gentleness, consideration, courtesy. It is strength under control. Meekness is the character of the one who has the power to retaliate yet remains kind. The meek person's concern is not for self, claims of success, personal dignity, or professional position. The meek person's concern is to discharge their duty to God and to turn again and again to God for help, direction, and the sheer joy of it. Thus, meekness does not seek compliments in order to continue a good work. The meek person of humility has the strength to continue because of a deep commitment to God and truth. I need to hear this on occasion. Do you? Because of confidence, trust, and submission before God, the meek person can control their actions and reactions to others. The way to success for the meek person is not the slaying of the rival, but the slaying of their own worldly desires, that is, their own selfish ego. When Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," he did not mean, "Blessed are the weak," but rather, "Blessed are the strong and courageous who are not easily provoked, and blessed are those who are so strong they do not need to assert themselves and are not threatened at every point." The person who is not meek toward God will be strong in their self-life, grasping at power and position and striking out against others. The meek do not push, trample, shout, and retaliate, and the meek do not seek to push others to the rear of the procession in the rush of life. Thus, the meek can be elbowed out of the way in the world's mad pursuit of fame and fortune. They can be treated with contempt and viewed as worthless. Such evaluation is for time only. The world sees what meekness misses and fails entirely to see what it possesses. The meek, those who count for so little in the world, are designed to possess all things. As I was thinking about this, this kind of fits with Kim, with what Kim was saying last week, doesn't it? There's place at the table for everyone. William Barclay in Flesh and Spirit shares these thoughts on meekness. Meekness is a complete control of the passionate part of our nature. It is when we have meekness, we treat all people with perfect courtesy, that we can rebuke without rancor, that we can argue without intolerance, that we can face the truth without resentment, that we can be angry and yet sin not, that we can be gentle and yet not weak. Because we cannot be meek of ourselves is precisely why meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. It comes only as the Spirit controls our lives. So like Zacchaeus, we come to worship today seeking higher ground, seeking to meet Jesus on the road, seeking the fruit of the Spirit that is ours through the Holy Spirit that controls our lives. And once again, Jesus has faithfully met us. He has called us by name, and he invites himself to our home to break bread with us, to live with us, to bless us with the fruit of the Spirit that we are called to share with others. We are called to share God's love, God's peace, God's patience, God's kindness and gentleness, God's generosity and goodness, God's faithfulness and fidelity, God's meekness, humility, and tolerance, God's self-control. May we, like Zacchaeus, find great joy in having Jesus call us by name and invite himself to our lives and our homes. And may our lives be changed, like Zacchaeus, from a life focused on amassing wealth and power and position to a life dedicated to generosity and service and gentleness and meekness and a commitment to living in the constant presence of the Holy Spirit and sharing the amazing and powerful fruit of the Spirit. Amen.